listening to the Way of Truth broadcast. This program originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking, and wherever you are listening to this international broadcast, we welcome you. Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious congregation today. I know that you have your eye upon everyone in our congregation, and I know that you love everyone. You know those who are children of God, and you know those who are outside the fold. We're praying that the Holy Spirit will use us and will use this broadcast to reach precious hearts according to their need. And we need your Spirit to help us to be able to do this. So we present ourselves, our broadcast, and our congregation to thee, asking that you will move and work, bless hearts and bless lives. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It is our desire that our broadcast service be a blessing to each and to every one. And if it is an encouragement and a help to you, it would be an encouragement to us to know. At the close of our broadcast today, we'll be giving you our mailing address, and we invite you to write us, for we would be pleased to hear from you.
God has told us that His bride will bear His name. In her life you'll find no sin, reproach, or shame. From this world she's been set free. She has peace and victory. And someday she'll hear the holy angel sing. Here comes the bride. The Lord is by her side. She wears the robes of pure salvation, chosen ones from every nation. Here comes the bride. Though she's persecuted, she has passed each test. At a glance you'll see she's fairer than the rest. Though the world is criticizing, you won't find her compromising. There's no need to change, she has the very best. Here comes the bride. The Lord is by her side. She wears the robes of pure salvation, the chosen ones from every nation. Here comes the bride. Praise the Lord. The bride of Christ, she stands above all sin and strife. And all her family names are in the book of life. Of her likeness there's no other, she's the only one of her mother. So behold the church of God, the Lamb's bride.
Amen.
Here comes the bride. The Lord is by her side. She wears the robes of pure salvation, chosen ones from every nation. Here comes the bride. Here comes the bride.
Our subject for today's broadcast, Christian Unity. And I will read from Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, Chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through you all, and in you all. Our text will be the third verse, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Unity is a Bible doctrine that needs to be taken seriously. The greater the unity, the stronger the fellowship. Unity among Christians is desirable. The psalmist said in the 103rd Psalm, verse 1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Christian unity is possible because Christ prayed for it. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. That is, us, including us, for we believe on him through the words of the apostles and his own words recorded in the Bible, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. John chapter 17 and verse 20 and 21, a portion of what I call the Lord's Prayer. And you notice here that one of the purposes, and of course there's a number of purposes, but one of the purposes that Christ so desired his followers to be one was so that the world might believe that the Father had sent him. The religious world is so divided today in various denominations, creeds, and so forth, it is no wonder that some people throw up their hands, as it were, and say, well, what am I supposed to believe? And some go so far as to say, well, I don't want anything to do with it at all. Mahatma Gandhi was quoted as saying, there was a bishop from a certain denominational church talking to him there in India years ago about Christ. And Mahatma Gandhi was quoted as saying, well, I would like to have your Christ, but not your Christianity. Of course, what he was judging as Christianity was the denominational world. What he heard about Christ, what he had learned about Christ, was good and desirable. But what he saw demonstrated before him was not. And so Jesus, in this prayer, prayed that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Jesus gave his life to effect unity. He prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation or for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God. So we read in St. John chapter 11, verses 51 and 52. So Jesus Christ died upon that cruel cross, not only to save us from our sins, but to bring about unity among true believers. Christian unity consists in unity of the Spirit. And I'm not talking about union now. I'm talking about the unity of the Spirit. Again, our text says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Ephesians 4 and 3. So Christian unity also consists of unity of the faith. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the fullness of Christ. That's Ephesians 4 and 13. We are told earlier in this passage of Scripture that when Jesus Christ ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, and so forth. And he gave these gifts in part till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I have said a number of times that Jesus Christ gave the responsibility to the ministry to bring the saints into unity, but the ministers are more responsible for division than from what the people in the congregation are. It is the responsibility, I say, of the ministry to bring the saints into the unity of the faith. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints till we all come in the unity of the faith. That's Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. Christian unity is all having one mind. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind, living in peace, and the God of peace shall be with you. So that's 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. So the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. Christian unity is for all who are members of the body of Christ, the church of God. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. The body of Christ is not to be cut up into a whole bunch of pieces. No, the whole body is to be one body. The hands, the eyes, the ears, the feet, all of it is to be put together, held together by the love of God through the unity of the Spirit, striving together for the faith of the gospel, that we be one. You know, the only way you can become a member of God's church is by being born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, except you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. We also read in Acts 2 and 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The church of God is a church that no one can join. Oh, I know there are different denominations called church of God, but I'm talking about the bride of Christ, that body of believers that have been born again, and they are in the body of Christ because they have been born again. So the only way that you can become a member of the body of Christ is by the new birth. And God never has a person to be born into any other body than the body of Christ. Salvation and salvation alone makes you a member of the church of God, the body of Christ. We read in the 87th Psalm, that it shall be said of this man, that man, that he was born there. It shall be said of Zion, that this and that man was born there. And the Lord shall count when he writeth up the people, that this man was born there. So we see not only is a person born into the family of God, the church of God, but we also see from this verse in Psalm 87 that God keeps his own church book. No one on earth is qualified to keep God's church book. Only God knows the hearts of every individual on the face of the earth. There may be 7 billion people on the earth today. If so, the Lord sees the heart of everyone, and he knows everyone who makes up the body of Christ. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Again, Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made, all made, to drink into one Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. So the only way that you can become a member of the body of Christ is by being inducted into that body by the working of the Holy Spirit, and that is through the new birth. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. That's the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians and the 18th verse. And let me add here that it is members of the body of Christ that God gives spiritual gifts to. God does not give spiritual gifts to unsaved people. The Lord gives gifts, that is, I'm talking about spiritual gifts. The Lord gives gifts to those who are members of the body of Christ. Again, Paul said here in 1 Corinthians 12 and 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. God divides severally as he wills, not according to man, not according to voting. No, you don't vote people into spiritual offices in the body of Christ. The Lord places them there, and he qualifies them by giving them a gift to fit that office. There is the gift of pastoring. Every preacher does not have the gift of pastoring. Therefore, not every preacher is qualified to be a pastor. Not every preacher is an evangelist. But there are those who have the gift of evangelism, and they need to exercise that gift. And there's the gifts of healing, there's the gift of miracles, the gift of discernment, and so forth. And these gifts, I say, are given by the Spirit to members of the body of Christ. Now, the kind of unity Paul wanted for the Christians, the Corinthian church, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united together in the bond, in the same mind and in the same judgment. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. That was Paul's desire. He had heard that they had some problems there at Corinth. Some were saying that they were of Apollos, some were saying that they were of Cephas, and some were saying that they were of Paul. And Paul asked them, is Christ divided? And who's Peter? Who's Apollos? Who's Paul? Christ is the head of the church, and it is his body. Is Christ divided? No, beloved, Christ prayed earnestly and sincerely, as we have already mentioned there in John 17, that we all be one, so that the world would believe that God has sent him. Now, the body of Christ is kept in one name. Notice this passage of Scripture. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. John 17 and the latter part of verse 11. Also we read in Ephesians, the third chapter, verses 14 and 15, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. And so the family of God is named after the Father. Yes, the church of God. Paul wrote to the church of God at Corinth. He spoke of the church of God in Galatians. In fact, he said he wasted and persecuted the church of God, and that was before he was converted on the road to Damascus. And so, Paul says here in Ephesians 3 and 14 and 15, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. Now, the result of unity among God's people, it convinces the world, again, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Again, that's John 17 and 20. Unity means more power. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Acts chapter 4, verses 31 through 33. And that verse of Scripture, or those verses of Scripture, speak of the disciples being together and having a prayer meeting. And the place was filled with the presence of God. In fact, it shook, as it were. And the Scripture says they were of one heart, of one soul, and they were also of one mind, and great power was given unto them testified to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. The Bible does not teach union, and I have not been talking about union. No, you may have union of religion, but not unity. The only through the Spirit of God and the working of the Spirit of God can you have true Bible unity. And that is our text today, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Unity is to be among saints of God. You cannot have unity among a divided religious world. They'll have to get rid of their divisions, and they'll have to get an experience of salvation to have the unity of the Spirit. And let me say in closing, I have not brought these thoughts to you. I have not quoted these scriptures to cause trouble or to criticize anyone, but to endeavor to enlighten you with what the Word of God has to say about Christian unity. Heavenly Father, bless these precious thoughts to our congregation today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We trust that our broadcast has been a blessing to you. If it has, it would be an encouragement to us to know. Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That address again, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Now our email address, truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net, our email address. Our fax number is 301-739-7173, 301-739-7173, our fax number. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. Remember, on our webpage, you may read our monthly Way of Truth magazine, and you may listen to back programs if you've missed any, as we have an archive there of our various broadcasts. And you may also join us in our services. Our Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11, and our evening service begins at 6, and that's Eastern Time, of course. Again, our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to tune in this station next week when, again, the Lord willing, be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.